Good morning, everybody. Welcome visitors here. I see some familiar faces here. Welcome you back, you guys. Last week, I had a message on Psalm 91. How many of you are very familiar with Psalm 91? Raise your hands. The promises of that book. I like the way Psalm 91 starts and ends. Both of them are very unique in the promise that they provide, but they're tied together. You can't separate them. It starts with, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And it ends with "Long life will he satisfy us." And then there's the promises in between. But the basic to get the fullness of the chapter to play out in your life actually lies in the first part of the verse. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What is the shadow of the Almighty? That's his protection. And the promises of that, you read it for yourself. If you have sicknesses, ailments, if your family is sick, you pray that prayer over them. I'm a testament to that. My wife, with Brother Dave here, we did that on him. My son Brandon, like you, he had brain infection, and chances of survival from that are very, very slim. But we prayed that every day with him. Every day my wife would read it to him, and lo and behold, it is a promise that is the Word of God, and that's what the beauty of this is. It's a promise in the Word of God, and the Word of God is sure. It's yes, yes. So that's where we stand. But that was last week. This week, I have more of an admonition that I'm going to... It's I think, a part that hinders the church a lot, and I'm going to... The Lord laid this message on my heart. I know years back... down at the farm, we used to work down in Southland Farm by Woodridge area. Barb, Dwight, myself, Kathy, and a French couple, we always had prayer meeting together. And one day we had, the Lord prompted our hearts to ask for forgiveness if we have criticized any ministry, regardless if we disagree with them, that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they preach Jesus, we have nothing to say against them, they are for us. And I will, I'll get into the message here, you will see from Scripture how that is true, how we paralyze ourselves by coming against the very people that are on our ranks and on our side just because we do not agree with certain doctrines that they preach. But before we get into this, I want to ask the Lord to bless this. So let's rise. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord Jesus, I know we need less of us and more of you, so you will come down. And Lord, you will show that you mean business, and we need to get serious in all aspects of our lives, in every area of our life. Lord, the time of playing games is over. It always has been, but it's more and more evident that it's over. And we need to take every moment that we have serious and seriously, Lord Jesus, because we know the time is short. And we ask, Lord God, that you will provide the power of the Holy Ghost to move through this congregation, to bless every heart with the knowledge of how they need to conduct their lives and how they bless. If we cannot bless, it's best to be quiet. So thank you, Jesus. You will bless in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Like I said, this is about an admonition about not criticizing preachers that preach the gospel. If they preach Jesus, they are on our side. Again, as I stated before, if they have doctrines that we don't agree with, that's fine. I probably have something they don't agree with. So that's fine. I remember this one time I went to visit Hutterite Colony, and I ran into the preacher there. But on the back of my van, I had a sign that said, "Support our troops," and he didn't agree with that. So we started having a little bit of a debate, and then I said, I won't mention him, he's passed on with the Lord already, but what I said to him is, brother, we could argue about this because clearly we will not agree on this subject, because I think, now actually hindsight 2020, I don't know how much I would support our troops who fought that war now, thinking about that, but because all the wars that have been fought in the last 30, 40 years have been anything but good, and there is no good wars, but if it's for freedom, I agree with keeping freedom, so people are free to make free choices, then it's something I could support. But anyway, that's a subject for another time. And then I said to him, we can argue all day about this, or we can talk about something we agree on. And then right away he switched. He says, you know what, the Lord gave him a revelation on the rapture, and he shared me his revelation. And God gave him a clear revelation on the rapture, and we had an unbelievable time. All because we chose not to argue, but to talk about something we agreed on. And the Lord blessed our time because of it. God bless the brother. He is with the Lord now. Anyway, the good news of Jesus Christ, regardless on how you disagree with their doctrines outside of salvation. Well, I have to go back here. I started prematurely here. So we have to stop criticizing preachers that preach Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ. Regardless on how you disagree with their doctrines outside of salvation, And I'm not talking about doctrines of devils here. I'm talking about whether you believe you should be baptized in the name of Jesus or whether you believe you should be the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Put that stuff aside. I don't care. I mean, what was Jesus baptized under? I don't know. He wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I guess. But my point is, if you're sure about that, be sure and believe that in your own, what is true in your own heart, and live with that. Don't turn it into an argument point. I'm simply talking about the different point of views of Scripture that don't reflect our house. Remember, when you look at a house, if two people would describe the house, one from the north and one from the south, they both could be describing the same house and yet talk about completely different perspectives of the house because they're not seeing the same view. The front might look totally different than the back of the house, and yet it would be evidently the same house. And there is only truly one great deception, and that will damn you, and that's to believe that there is a different way into heaven other than through Jesus Christ. That is the, if we don't agree on that point, then there, I can't help you there. I'm not gonna back away from that point, is that there is only way into heaven, one way into heaven, and that is Jesus saying, I am the way, door, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So there is only one way into heaven, and that's what we have to agree on. If we don't agree on that point, we are miles apart. In the book of Acts, the Jews that followed the Apostle Paul around stirred up the people, telling them that he was a false teacher. Now, don't say to yourself that you would not have joined those Jews in condemning Paul the apostle. If a handkerchief would have been sent to your mailbox and it would claim to have healing power, how would you react to that? Because that's what happened with the Apostle Paul. He had actually a handkerchief that got sent around to heal the sick. How would we react to that? So be fully persuaded in your own heart in what you believe in, if it's scripturally sound. And when you are like that, you don't need to argue, because the only reason we sometimes argue is we try to also convince ourselves that what we believe in is actually true. I don't have to argue about assurance of salvation, the rapture of things. I know in my heart, I'm convinced. So if you don't believe it, that's your prerogative. You have the free will to believe that. But if you believe Jesus is the way into heaven, I guess I'll see you in heaven. So it doesn't make a difference. Except you're being robbed of freedom when you don't believe in that. In Romans 15, verse 5 to 10, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards that day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he that gives God thanks, and he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself, for whether we live, we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. So whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So there you go. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In Acts chapter 15, verse 39, there was a big contention between Mark and Barnabas. And it says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. But getting into the contention, I don't remember ever a book being written by Paul or Barnabas accusing each other of being false teachers because of their disagreement. They simply, later on you can read, they made up and they sailed again together. But at least not to my knowledge, there was never a book written on why the other one was wrong, and so they just chose to separate, and both went their merry ways doing what God had called them to do. In Luke 9, verse 49 and 50, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him, because he followed not us." Jesus said unto him, I think that was John he was talking about, they were talking to him there, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." The Gospel of Mark sheds a bit more light on the same subject. Mark 9, verse 38 to 40. It says, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he followed not us, but we forbid him, because he followed not us." Doesn't that sound familiar? And Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part." So again, going back, if we knock any ministry, whether they be TV ministries, people that we don't like like mega preachers, whatever what they call them there, like, I've gotten good food out of all of them. I don't listen to many of them, or maybe any of them now, but there's times they were very essential in my life. I got a lot of good food out of most of them. And here's why you don't have to be worried about being deceived. Even if you listen to somebody and he's got a little bit of poison or deception in his message, listen to this. In Matthew 24, verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Guess what? It's not possible. So don't worry. Even if you might be deceived for a little bit, God will direct you back to the straight and narrow, because it is not possible that you will be deceived. And in my book here, the deception is telling you that there's a different way into heaven. Once you have experienced the born-again birth of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost, you have become a child of God that cannot be undone. You are one of his. So the deception is, that's why Jesus said, this is Jesus' own words, "If it were possible." It is not possible. In Philippians, the first chapter, 15 to 18, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and in strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Well, what is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. "What then? However, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice." That was the case for rejoicing, as long as the gospel is preached. So Paul made a choice of, instead of coming and fighting these people that are doing this, he took it, the opportunity to thank God that the gospel is preached, whether in pretense or in love. In Romans 16, verse 17 to 18, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." In Acts 21, verse 25, we read of what the doctrine is that they were learned. In verse 25, we read about the basics of the doctrines they have learned. "As touching the Gentiles, which are Christians, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, except only that keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication." That was the basic principle. And these doctrines came up when the Jews came along and said, "We have to, in order for them to believe, the Gentiles, that is, they have to be circumcised." And then that's where the disciples said, "No, we cannot put this burden on these people." So they came up with these doctrines, that they have to follow these. In closing, I have something to read from Oswald Chambers on how to perfect our own lives and leave the judging of others, of other ministries or other people, for the Lord to do. We judge ourselves. And that's as far as judging goes. So I'll read you this. This is from Oswald Chambers. He's a man who's got a lot of wisdom. Many of us appear to be all right in general, but there are still some areas in which we are careless and lazy. It is not a matter of sin, but the remnants of our carnal life that tend to make us careless. Carelessness is an insult to the Holy Spirit. We should have no carelessness about us, either in the way we worship God or in the way we eat and drink. That hits me very hard, right in the stomach. But not only must our relationship to God be right, but the outward expression of that relationship must also be right. Ultimately, God will allow nothing to escape. Every detail of our lives is under His scrutiny. God will bring us back in countless ways to the same point over and over again. I'm a testament to that, because it's still happening in my life. I come back to point, always to the same point. God gives me another chance, another try. It's just like the children of Israel. They wouldn't stop murmuring, so they kept marching around the mountain until they got it right. So one generation had to die off for them to get into the promised land. So God will bring us back in countless ways to the same point over and over again. And He never tires of bringing us back to that point until we learn the lesson. Because His purpose is to produce the finished product. That is God's purpose. And this is an individual, unique piece of work that He has to do. It's not one size fits all. It's unique for you. It's very to the point on what you need in your life. So I cannot force what God is doing in my life on you. You have to pay attention to what God is dealing with in your life. It may be a problem arising from our impulsive nature, but again and again, with the most persistent patience, God has brought us back to that one particular point. Or the problem may be our idle and wandering thinking. It's very often problem starts up here. Our minds, we have failed to control our minds. or our independent nature and self-interest. Through this process, God is trying to impress upon us the one thing that is not entirely right in our lives. Again, you know what that is. I don't. That's between you and God. We have been having a wonderful time in our studies over the revealed truth of God's redemption, and our hearts are perfect toward Him, and that's all true. And His wonderful work in us makes us know that overall we are right with Him. Again, we do know that, and that is true. And then James says, "Let patience have its perfect work." The Holy Spirit speaking through James said, "Now let your patience become a finished product." Because of becoming careless over the small details of life and saying, "Oh, that will have to do for now." Sorry, I'll read that again. Beware of becoming careless over the small details of life and saying, "Oh, that will have to do for now." Whatever it may be, God will point it out with persistence until we become entirely His, not just spirit, soul, but also body, because that's where the body is, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And him that defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost, God will simply destroy. So fall in line, take heed, and this message is as much for me, if not more, as it is for whoever lays ear to this. The Lord bless you. And next is Pastor Dave will have a message here also.
Hallelujah. Everybody hears me? Loud and clear. Praise God. I got a message today. It's kind of a mystery to a lot of Christians. I've learned over the years. And I'm challenging you today. See if it'll be a mystery to you. Those who are listening by the internet, I caution you not to turn it off till you hear the end and until you read it yourself. Because it's very important to know what I'm going to preach today. It'll give you peace of heart, peace of mind, regardless where and what situation you're going to be in. And believe me, I've been in situations. It starts in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted. The word submitted. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I've got a big question for a lot of Christians. Have you submitted yourself to the righteousness of God? What is God's righteousness? It's perfection. Can anybody say he's perfect here? The reason, when I became a Christian, I told everybody, are you going to heaven? I am. Are you saved? I am. I was talking about God's righteousness implanted into me. Not my own righteousness, but God's righteousness. If there are people here and listening to the internet, if you don't submit to the righteousness of God, you will forever be fighting for that righteousness in your flesh. And I got news for you. You'll never attain it. Because in the flesh, you will never be perfect. So you have to receive the righteousness of God. You have to submit yourself and say, Lord, I can't do it. You have to give it to me, and I accept it. Hallelujah. That's a good one, isn't it? I knew the Bible will always come to save us if we dare trust in it. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Why can we say, I'm going to heaven? Are you? That's my first question. If somebody argues about me, about Christianity, I'll simply ask him, are you going to heaven or not? Not maybe if or but, not maybe falling off in the future somehow. Are you going to heaven? Yes or no? You better have the yes. Because if you don't have the yes, you are not submitting to the righteousness of God. You're not accepting it for yourself. You're trying somehow, or you are feeling unworthy. One of the two. So, read the word. Submit yourself. I can't do it. I have to take it by faith. This is what saves me. I know I'm righteous. How? By what he did on the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what it is. He gave us his righteousness, that we may be right and perfect before God. Otherwise, you're not accepted. You're not going to heaven if you do not submit to the righteousness of God. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for all righteousness. There is no law that can make you righteous. Christ made an end to that. He nailed the law to the tree. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the tree. It says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Do you still depend on your own self? Are you still trying to struggle to keep righteous? Yes, we should keep righteous. We should live holy. That's a natural once you're Christian. You should live a holy life. But the holiness it's talking about here is the only holiness that'll get you into the kingdom, not the holiness that you're trying to conjure up. So don't try to fool anybody with your holy attitude. You might as well relax. Be yourself. Be at ease and be at peace. And guess what? People around you will start to enjoy your company instead of trying to stay away from you. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Do you believe? I do. Hallelujah. I believe in it from the start, and I thank my God. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Put that one up for a kicking up in the hind end to everybody. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Go try to do that without submitting to the righteousness of God. I challenge you all, if you don't know you're righteous by God's righteousness, you do not know the truth of the gospel. I'm not talking about living. I'm not talking about doctrine here. I'm talking about the simplicity of salvation. If you do not know righteousness as God is righteous, then you're not righteous. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I'm telling you, most Christians listen to that. Impossible. Well, the Bible demands it. You cannot escape it. How do you expect to face God without that perfection? I will be able to face Him. I will be able to face Him with a smile on my face, not because of the good deeds I've done, but because of what He implanted into me. His perfection, His righteousness, His holiness. Hallelujah. That's mine for eternity. That's something to be thankful for. No wonder the Word of God says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because He gave you perfection as God is perfect. Hallelujah. Listen to it. Read it. Study it. Let it come into your heart. And don't let go of it till you know that you have this perfection. Till you know that you know that you belong to God. Till you know that you're righteous without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. How do you think that's possible? Only if you have the righteousness of God. Now listen to this one. That deserves a good hand clap. Thank you, honey. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering, listen to this one. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? One offering at the cross. He perfected you forever. If you turn to this God in with a heart that seeks him, with a heart that wants to know him, with a heart that wants to follow him, he has perfected you. It says, for by one offering, not halfway perfected, not one day will perfect, but he has perfected you by that one offering. How long will that perfection last? For the rest of our eternity, we will rejoice. So this is what the gospel is. We can study the Bible from one end to the other. If this is not in our hearts, we will become confused by some passages, because it'll point the finger at you and ask you, are you holy? Are you righteous? Are you perfect? Do you truly know that you belong to God? Listen to your heart. What does it whisper? What does your heart whisper? You listening by internet, what does your heart whisper to you? Do you belong to God? I know that I do. Hallelujah. I can say that with a smile, with a boldness, and with an assurance. And I've done that since I've been a Christian, because that secret, that precious word has been implanted into me right from the start. So open your heart to this. Study it for yourself. If you got a little bit of doubt, if you wonder sometimes where you stand with God, just submit yourself to the righteousness of God. And these fears and these ideas and hopes and maybes and ifs and buts will disappear. You will have an assured heart that you know that you know your future is very bright. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself.
Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. Guide my feet, Lord, as I run. Hold me, Savior, in your love. Jesus, keep me free from sin. Help me fight the war within. Shield me now from fear and doubt. Break these chains that weigh me down. Oh, we sing together now. Yes, I am running. Won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running. Jesus, bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. Jesus, you have run the race. Perfect love and perfect faith. We are weary, you are strong. In your grace we carry on. Oh, we sing together now. Yes, I am running. Won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running. Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running. Won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am. just bring me safely home. Oh, 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 oh. Joy beyond my deepest hope, a Father's love, a Savior's peace, when I am truly whole. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home. Yes, I am running, won't be long till I am home. Yes, I am running, Jesus, bring me safely home.